This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org. I am pleased to be joined today by Ken Hackett, who very recently retired as the president of Catholic Relief Services. He retired January of 2012. Ken became president of Catholic Relief Services in 1993. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks.
So, Ken, you know, many people describe the global health field as complicated, crowded, fragmented. There are a lot of different players. You, of course, having over two decades of experience with Catholic Relief Services, are quite familiar with the role of many of the players in global health, but particularly with the faith-based organizations. And we had a public event today at CSIS talking about the American faith community's contributions to global health and the special space that they occupy. In your eyes, what are the special assets and contributions of faith-based organizations?
Well, faith-based organizations spread across the globe represent probably 25-27% of healthcare globally. And then when you get into the poorer countries, the Guyanas, the Haitis, the Uganda, Kenya, you find that faith-based organizations can represent up to 70% in certain countries. Now, that's hundreds, it's thousands of health centers and health workers and reach. And the interesting thing about the faith-based organizations as opposed to the governmental entities is they're not always urban city-based. Oftentimes, the faith-based health systems and services are at the end of the road, the last mile, where people still have to walk 12 miles to get to the hospital, but they'll never get to the hospital in the capital city unless there was something out there. And they're run by people who have dedicated their lives often to this type of compassionate service. Compassionate, credible, legitimate. They've been doing it for a long time.
And one of the striking elements, particularly for Catholic Relief Services, is how fluidly the organization, you know, partners with the U.S. government, local governments, individual donors, foundations, corporations, and local, you know, health facilities and local health departments. And when you look at the upcoming AIDS conference, AIDS 2012, the theme of the conference is churning the tide together. And the emphasis is really on the conference, bringing together all of the multiple players around the globe. Looking back at Catholic Relief Services experience, how do you structure those kinds of partnerships so that they're successful and that they last?
That's an intriguing question because I don't think I have a paradigm that would apply for everybody. But at the same time, the first thing you have to do is know who you are. If you're going to collaborate with a lot of different types of entities and agencies with different motivations, different structures, and different approaches, you better be grounded in who you are and how you operate and what you value. And we take that position very clearly in our health programming and our agriculture programming and everything else. We're a billion-dollar organization that reaches far and wide with many hands. And I think we've been successful in doing it because we've figured out what we value and what's important to us, and then we can collaborate easier.
So you've just retired from Catholic Relief Services after nearly two decades of leading the organization, as
Try
we
four.
Discussed.
Oh, four. Two decades of
two
leading
Two decades
it.
Of leading, four, four being with the organization.
Yes, that's right.
You have your roots as a Peace Corps volunteer.
That's right.
So over that time, you've definitely managed a range of issues: humanitarian crises, longer-term development projects, the creation of new aid mechanisms like the Millennium Challenge Corporation. So as you look to the future, as you project forward to the next decade, what do you think will be the most pressing obstacles that people in the global health community will face?
I would say that two of the pressing obstacles will be cost, and making sure cost is reasonable for the majority of the poor and middle-income populations, and then access. We're reading in the newspapers about lower middle-income countries developing boutique health care in capital cities and elsewhere. That's not reaching the poorest of the poor, nor even the middle poor. And so the whole question of access is going to be a continuing challenge. And then thirdly, I would say this whole agenda of collaborating and using each other's strength, recognizing that each individual entity, a government hospital, a private for-profit hospital, a faith-based hospital or health service, has something to offer. You've just got to open enough room for them each to contribute in a collaborative way. And that's a big challenge for the future.
Ken, thank you so much for joining us. Interested listeners can hear more from Ken Hackett by going to www.smartglobalhealth.org. There you can find the full audio and video of the CSIS event, American Faith Communities' Contributions to Global Health. Thank you.
Thank you.